Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And I have somebody here who's been on the channel before. He's one of only six people that have come back for a second interview. That's how much I respect this guy. But he's come back not to talk about his career or to talk about weddings. He's come back to talk about what I think is one of the most revolutionary devices that has hit the magic industry. And I think this is going to be the new standard for stage performers going forward from this point on. It's incredibly exciting. I want everyone to know exactly what it's talking, what this is and what it does. And I am, of course, talking about Sam Fitton and the solo project. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm very well, thank you. That was one hell of an intro, Craig. Jesus. I can't even get my words out.
It's true, though, Sam. I mean, we've chatted for a few minutes, and obviously we're going to have a chat now. But just in a few-minute chat before we started rolling the cameras, my mind is racing. I mean, the stuff that this could potentially do, I don't think, you know, the term in this industry, game changer, gets thrown around way too much. You know, like a new peak device comes out and it's a game changer. A new double lift is designed, it's a game changer. This is actually a game changer. This allows, and we'll talk about it properly in a bit, but from what I can see, this allows one-man band entertainers that don't have a tech team and don't have a venue where there is a tech team to be able to create a full show experience for their audiences with just one app.
Yeah, can you rewrite the blurb on my Kickstarter page? Would that be all right if I could just employ you to do that? I will happily pay you. I might write that down, actually. I'm gonna
Literally, mate,
do you know what? You've hit the nail on the head, and I am actually seriously going to rewrite the Kickstarter page because that's exactly what it is. I talk about it on the promo video that's on the Kickstarter page. Essentially, I came up with this because I've always been frustrated by the fact that I can't produce consistent production value for my clients. I'll have good shows, I'll have bad shows, I'll have shows where the remote didn't work, I'll have shows where I needed to remove an act because a prop that was damaged or got broken. Or the client said, oh, you've only got 15 minutes now and not 25. And all of a sudden my playlist is out of order because now I have to skip tracks. And it used to frustrate me, mainly because I knew then I wasn't going to deliver my best work, because rather than walking on stage and going bam bam and absolutely hitting them for six, I was then having to go, right, I've got to skip track 2 and 3. So now I'm fumbling in my pocket going, right, double tap that. Okay, great. Am I right? Looking at the iPad in the corner of the room. Yeah, okay, I'm good. You know, and it you could see it on people's faces. You know, they'd spotted that I wasn't it. And so I thought, you know what, there's got to be a better way of doing this. And so I spent a long time playing with different ideas, and solo is basically what I came up with. And it essentially, I mean, I'll show you. So you get basically, it's this little device, and basically when you hold a card up in front of it, it starts playing music. Now, hopefully you can hear the music. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So, you know, if you were to pick up a different object, let's say a post-it notepad, and hold it near the reader, it would then play a different track. Yeah?
Yes.
So now it just starts playing something else. Now, let's say, for example, you're getting to the finale of your routine, and you've got a prediction inside this little purse. All you need to do is bring that close to solo, and all of a sudden, the music fades out as you suspensefully open up your prediction and take out the final, you know, thing. And literally, that's what you can do with it. So it's literally just prop-based triggers, essentially. And it's just mad. Yeah. Honestly, so, even me using it, I'm pretty freaked out by it.
I mean, my mind is racing and just racing, but Let's talk, right. So when did you start developing this, Sam?
So I came up with the first concept 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
So we're talking pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. I think everyone says pre-COVID, post-COVID now, don't it? It's like, because of measure. Yeah, it's before COVID. So
it's the new BC, to be perfect.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. So Yeah, so before COVID, it was the summer before then, I was doing a lot of after dinner stuff. Now, if you work as a close-up magician a lot, you'll know that basically the easiest way to get an increased fee is to offer an after dinner show. Might be 10 minutes, might be 20 minutes, might be an hour, whatever. You do it after dinner. It's a great way of upping your fee. And obviously then when you add music to your show, you can up your fee even more because the production value goes through the roof. So I used to use music, used to do this afterwards. And like I say, I got frustrated because I couldn't find a concrete way of cueing my music reliably every time.
Yeah.
So I came up with this idea. I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll stick sensors inside my case that I use on stage in different compartments. And then when I remove a prop from each one of those compartments, it will trigger a song. Mm. Great. That sounds like a good solution. So I did it. And I'd done a really good job calibrating these sensors. Mm-hmm. For my office. And then when I went on stage with it, opened up the lid and the light shone in and triggered all of the sensors at once.
So
I immediately went, yeah, this isn't gonna work. Shut the lid on the case. I was like, let's try something else. So that happened. So what I decided to do was completely rethink it. Spent about 6 months banging my head against the brick wall until one day I was paying for something in a shop and I used contactless, you know, on my card and went, fuck, there's got to be, sorry, language, I'll have to bleep that out. But it was a proper little like, you know, those moments that you have where you go, oh my God, I've got it. And I just thought, this is the technology. So at that time, actually, it was about then when actually a lot of magic props were coming out using RFID technology. And I thought, this is it. We can do so much more with this than just magic tricks. And so I immediately kind of started sketching out ideas. I bought the components. In fact, they're on the shelf over here, the original prototypes over here. Do you remember before, Craig, where I said, I'm going to run off, grab something?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be right back.
Okay.
So here's the original prototype. Yeah.
Wow.
I know, right? So lots of bits and pieces all stuck together, RFID reader, transceiver, and all sorts of stuff. But basically, that's what it started with. So I programmed that, and I managed to get it to work. Now, I wasn't very good at programming, but then lockdown happened, and I had nothing else to do in my life. So I basically learned to program, and I started programming this device. I got it to work. I phoned Aaron and went, Aaron, I've got it fucking working. And he was like, no way. And I was like, yeah, way. So once that had happened, we got released, didn't we? We could go back out and perform, and it got pushed to the back of the ideas drawer. And then all of a sudden, about a year and a half ago, I thought, I need this in my show. Like, I need that. I want this, you know, and I can see the potential in it. So about a year and a half ago, I approached a company who built me my first prototype. And for anyone who's ever done any electronics prototyping or development work, it ain't cheap. It was a very steep learning curve as well, I'll tell you that. And I got the first prototypes and it sort of worked. And I was like, this is good. So we made another prototype, which worked better. And I took that to Blackpool in 2022, showcased it, got loads of amazing feedback of the magic community. And actually that feedback went into redeveloping Solo and changing it into what it is today. Because I wanted to make sure that the product that was being made was made for us. It was made for magicians, it was made for performers, it was made for people who day in, day out, go on stages and want reliable music cues that just work, you know, where you don't have to think about pushing buttons or what playlist order you're in or looking over to the side of the stage every 10 seconds to check that it's worked, you know, just a reliable way of making sure that your show is fucking knockout, basically. And there you go. That is how it came about.
So let's talk about, I've got multiple questions, but before we do, let's just talk about what you're doing with it now. So when you brought it to Blackpool, you didn't really have them to sell. You were showcasing it and telling everyone about it. Fast forward to now, we are now at the start of a Kickstarter campaign. And your goal is that you need £30,000 in order to make this viable.
Yep.
You've got about 27 days left. It's only been running for a few days. And you've already backed, you've already got like £12,500. So you're almost halfway towards your goal. Yeah. And you've still got 27 days to go. You've had 18 backers.
Yeah.
Incredibly exciting. I mean, there's a lot of Kickstarter campaigns that don't go anywhere, or there's a lot of, I said to you beforehand, there's a lot of people in general that will say they're going to do a Kickstarter campaign and they never will. Yeah. You've gone through this Kickstarter campaign. So what can, I want to find about the product, but before I do, as the Kickstarter's running, can we talk a little bit about the Kickstarter? Because there's certain levels, if people haven't used Kickstarter before, I want everyone to know, I actually back quite a lot of stuff on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly safe way of backing a project, because if you see something that you like, you can back it at any one of the levels that are an option. They will not take your money unless it gets funded. And then as long as the person is reliable that's doing the campaign, which we know Sam is, he's got a brilliant reputation in the industry, then there's not going to be an issue. So it's a very safe way of doing it. I know already the early bird offer is completely gone.
The super early bird. The early bird's still there.
So can you talk us through a few of the different levels on Kickstarter? Then we'll talk more about the product and what features and benefits.
Do you know what? You hit the nail on the head with Kickstarter is almost like a safe investment opportunity.
Yeah.
It allows you to back something to help it reach its goal with no risk to you, essentially, which is what's so cool about it. Now, the first thing, I suppose, is the starter kit for Solo. So what's cool about Solo is you don't just get like some random piece of tech and then, you actually get an accompanying app that runs on your device and Solo talks directly to that app. So I'll happily talk about through the app later, but so you get the use of the app on your Apple ID or on your Android Google account. So you can use that on multiple devices, also as long as it's signed in with the same, ID, because that's how it all works on kind of the app stores. And you get obviously Solo itself, which is this cool little device. Where have I just put it? There it is. I've lost it. It's black and I've got a black desk. Literally just black-arted myself. But there you go. So it's literally like this thing. It's tiny. It's about the size of a playing card. In fact, it's exactly the size of a playing card because that's the spec that I gave the designer. So it's exactly the size of a playing card and 11 millimeters tall. So you get this. And you get the access to the app, you get your charge cable, and then you get RFID tags to work obviously with Solo. Now, you don't have to buy specific tags from me, it comes with them, but you can also just go onto eBay if you wanted and buy 10,000 tags. They use a certain protocol. I wanted to make sure it was open, so if people did just want to go onto, Alibaba or whatever and buy a million, then they could. I'm not going to make money out of people for RFID tags. I do sell them, but obviously you can just buy your own if you wanted to. So the starter kit literally is the best deal currently on Kickstarter. In fact, it's not quite strictly true because I mentioned something to you earlier, but the early bird is pretty much the cheapest one on there. But you can also buy two of these starter kits and get more money off. So if you were to scroll down to the bottom of those perks, or rewards, I think they call them now, you can buy two starter kits. So if you and a friend both wanted one, you could both buy one and get it even cheaper. So that works out at like 725, I think. My maths is right. So that works out even cheaper than the starter kit. Like I say, we actually sold out of all the super early bird ones. The early bird one is still available. Then we've got the starter kit itself, which is 895, which is exactly the same as the early bird. It's just obviously not early. Basically, that's the difference. And then we've got what I've got called the Pro Kit. Now, the Pro Kit's probably the most expensive one on there per unit. That's because it comes with a hard weatherproof case to store Solo in, which is all EVA cut foam. So it's not that pluck and pull rubbish stuff. It's literally pre-cut designed for Solo. Hard case, which if you're a traveling performer, you work a lot, you'll have seen these cases around. It's what all professional sound equipment comes in. Because that's what Solo is, it's a professional piece of sound equipment, to me anyway. And so it comes with that, it comes with more tags, and obviously therefore you can do more with it. There's more triggers that you can set off. And then obviously you get the app as usual and things like that, and Solo, obviously. And then you also get priority access to all of the future tech that we're planning on releasing, which I know we mentioned very briefly before we started recording. But the people that back the Pro Kit, if you will, they'll get access to that. So there you go. That's all the rewards. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. And people have got it runs out at the end of September, doesn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So I think we've got about 27 days to go, and we're already about halfway funded. So that's really exciting. I wasn't expecting quite a big surge of people at the beginning, but that's what happened. And then now it's just like literally the odd person comes on. But like I say, I mean, currently the deal for seven, like, because loads of people have messaged me saying, oh, you're going to be at Blackpool next year, and will you be doing it cheaper there? I'm like, no. No, I'm not. This is as cheap as I can make it, because the cost of actually manufacturing things at the moment is so high, and it probably will and be also for the next 5 years.
And the amount of money you've put into research and development. I mean, I can only imagine what you've spent to get something like this to market.
Yeah. I mean, I live quite close to some car garages, and every time I walk the dog and I go past, I go, could have had that, could have had that. There's me driving around in my 2014 Skoda, walking past like these lovely cars, going, could have had that. Instead, I've got a black box.
Man, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, that is a big risk. I mean, from an entrepreneurial point of view, I mean, you are a true entrepreneur. Regardless, take solo away, just what you do, you know, as a performer, you're an entrepreneur. But I think that 99% of people in the world, if you said to them, you can create this, then it's going to cost you this much money, and it's going to cost you time, effort, energy, hard work, and there's no guarantee at the end of it. I mean, there's very few people that would take a risk like that. That's, you need a particular type of person, Sam, in order to...
Yeah, now you've said that, I might... I think the first thing is no one pointed that out to me at any point. and the second thing is I believe in the concept. I believe in the idea. I've been using it. All of my performer friends who have kind of seen it in action have gone, yep, immediately. You know, I think Matthew Garrett was one of the first people to back it. And he was literally across from me at Blackpool on a stand, and he walked over and went, holy shit, I want to buy this prototype. And I was like, you can't, Matthew, I'm sorry. And he was like, oh, well, how long do I have to wait? And I was like, I'm not sure yet. And he was like, can I not give you the money now? I was like, because I think professional performers, and even like semi-professional performers who are obviously performing professionally, but you know what I mean, you know, see the value in the actual product itself. They see the amazing shit you're going to be able to do with it is insane. Even just now, picking up things, and you know, this is really rudimentary way of doing things, right? Picking up objects and then having songs play is just like, do you know what I mean? That's quite a rudimentary way of using solo. There's so much more you can do with it.
I want to talk about that. I really do. I want to get into the nitty gritty with it. I mean, I really do. But one thing that strikes me before I mention that is, I'm sure that you've already considered this, but this has applications outside of performing and entertainment.
Yeah.
Like it really does, like motivational speakers. You know, I know a lot of friends that are motivational speakers that have walk-on music, they have music at various different points, they have walk-off music. They would kill for something like this.
Exactly.
Because a lot of motivational speakers, you know, not every gig's the XL in London. You know, sometimes they're going into like, you know, they haven't got a tech crew, they haven't got a stage crew. They just walk in, be able to do this and control the whole show. Motivational speakers, lecturers, aside from magicians, you know, singers, dancers, actors, anybody, like this is not just magic specific. This is something that could go in so many different industries. This could blow up.
Fingers crossed. But it's, you know, you're right, because one of the other things that I've always found with, and I'm not going to name any other products because that would be unfair. What I've always found with using different systems in the past is that I've always had to have a complicated app, or I've had to set things up specifically. And if something changes in a show, I have to reorder a playlist, or I need to wait for something to connect, or then I have to plug something into something else. And then I have to plug that into the wall. And it's like, well, why make a wireless device that plugs into the wall? It makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, so I was like, well, I need something that sets up fast, because sometimes I get very little warning before going onto stage. You know, someone might say, oh, we need you on now. And I'm like, oh, right, okay, crap. You know, and you're pretty much running onto stage. Now, I appreciate that might not happen to every performer, but it's happened to me enough that it's made me think about it. And so that's why when we created kind of this next version of Solo, taking people's feedback from Blackpool, we developed our own app. And it was a no-brainer, really. You know, remove that idea of having to plug in a receiver into a device Why not just use the device as the receiver? And so obviously, like, this is actually Solo Studio, the app. There you can see a reflection of my big green beast of a machine there, but you can see the app there. And so the app basically creates these little tiles when you add tracks. So there's no playlists anymore. You basically just add a music track, it creates a tile, and then you can literally go into each track and set all of the different features. Ignore the big blue box, that's audio trimming. The app developer has yet to send me the updated file. And so that's what that is. But you can see how easy this is as an app concept. You can set the volume, fade in, fade out, just by clicking things. You know, it really is that simple. You can set how, what the delay is on those and things like that. And then once you're done with those track settings, they're saved. So as soon as, you know, you scan that tag that's assigned to that track, it uses those settings. But if, your example, going onto stage and you don't need to scan a tag for your own walk-on music, you could just tap the track and it will automatically play it for you.
Let's go. Wow.
Yeah. And so obviously that's now playing because I can see it's playing because it's gone green. I could then walk onto stage because obviously this is my walk-on music. Obviously, why wouldn't it be? And then I can fade it out using a tag on stage or just by picking up my next prop, or you can also just tap it and it would go off. So if you're obviously, you wanted manual control as well, it's there in case you need it. And yeah, it's a super simple.
So if you are working with a venue that has a tech crew, like a holiday park or a large scale corporate events, and they want it, because we've all been to those events where it's a big corporate thing.
Yep.
They've hired a whole sound crew. They don't want you doing this. You could literally just give them your tablet and say, okay, here you go. There's my track, and they can manually do it for you.
If you wanted to. But do you know what? I've done an event where I literally turned up to the it was amazing, actually. I was doing some hosting stuff. Funnily, there's only a very short amount of magic in it, but I used it for the hosting parts as well. And I just said to the tech crew, I said, can I just plug my iPad into your sound desk? And they were like, yeah, sure. What do you need us to do? I was like, nothing. And literally the relief on the sound tech's eyes, he just went, oh. Like, you could see just then, oh my God, I don't have to learn someone's specific cues and have the fear of fucking it up. And funnily enough, next door to my office here, there is a sound tech company that have been coming in, checking this out, because they're like, anything that makes our life easier, we're interested in. Because sound techs, their job is to make sure the overall sound works. Their job is to make sure that the AV gear actually functions, that the sound comes out of the speakers at the right volume, doesn't kill an audience, and that works for the venue. They're not there for you. They're just very rarely there, even at those big corporate events. There might be someone who's been told as a magician, but they didn't really expect to learn all your sound cues. So all I need to do is go, yeah, can you just plug this in, please, to your desk? So they plug it in, and I go, great, I'll do the rest. And that's it. You know, I just then perform. Because the beauty of this is, once you open up the app and turn on Solo, it connects to it within 3 seconds. And then you'll know it's connected because in the bottom bar here, it comes up with a little battery icon showing you the battery status of Solo. So from the home screen, you can see what the battery charge is. And then you can literally walk onto stage with a bag full of props, pick up any prop you want, and that song will begin playing.
That's amazing.
So there is no setup. There is no checking it works or anything like that because you don't have to. Yeah, it's pretty mad. So it just means setup time is literally 20 seconds.
Well, let me ask you a few questions. That I think people would probably want to know. So question number one, where would you set up Solo? So I understand that it connects to the speakers, but where would Solo be set up? Does it depend on a gig by gig basis? Would you have it like, because would it change with an illusion show versus maybe a stand-up spot? Where would you put it up in your experience?
Good question. So there's probably two places that I would recommend. The first is your top pocket. Now, because it's so small, you can go in pretty much any pocket without really you noticing it. You know, it sits inside your top pocket and it's good to go. What's cool is that you get, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but you get feedback from Solo. So when a tag is scanned, whenever you pick up a prop and it comes into range of Solo, which is about 6 inches. Again, the engineer got in touch the other day. In fact, it's more than that now, it's 7 inches. He got in touch and was like, oh, I've made that work better as well. Like, what? So now, you know, you have to be about this far away from Solo and it'll detect that prop, even through clothing and a table. And it will obviously trigger the cue for you. So I would recommend top pocket because it will work through a jacket pocket. That's what I did at Blackpool when I was demoing the technology. And then just by lifting up the prop to here, which is a natural position you would hold a prop in anyway, when you go into an act, you would hold your hands up at chest height, it would scan the tag and it would begin playing. And obviously then you'd get feedback to let you know that's worked. So rather than having to look at an iPad in the corner of the room or check your cues moved on, or you actually feel a vibration. So you would get that instant feedback letting you know that it's worked, which I think is super important when you're performing. That's because really good, yeah. Because right. Then immediately you can go, oh, right, okay, well, I picked this up. Excellent. I felt the vibration, so I know my music's going to start. Even if you've got a delay in place. So if you've got like a 5 or 6 second delay or 10 second delay because you want to speak a bit first, so maybe you pick up the prop, scans, you'll get a vibration letting you know it's worked. And now you know you've got 10 seconds to talk to the audience before going, could we have some sound, please? Thank you. And now obviously it looks like you have got your own sound tech. Yeah. And you can, and it now looks like you've got your own, like, you know, thing. And so, yeah, so you get that instant feedback. We're currently working on an update to the app as well, which will actually give you a 3 second countdown if you've got a delay in place. So what will happen is it'll vibrate when you scan to let you know it's worked, and then it will begin the countdown. And when you get to the last 3 seconds, solo will actually go 3, 2, 1, and then the track will begin, so that you know if you're doing a routine. So let's say, for example, you were doing a, I don't know, you had your card routine, you'd scan the card and you're about to go into your Manip app, and you know then on the exact moment when the music's going to start, you don't have to count it in your head anymore, so you can get ready to throw that card up and catch it as the music starts, you know. So just things like that. So, and again, that's what, that's the beauty of the app gives us. We can run updates like that that are just going to make people's lives easier. So yeah, so yeah, that's,
so you said the top pocket, is there another? Yeah. You said there were two places, yeah, you put it. Where?
Under the table. Under a table is a brilliant way, brilliant place to put it if you're used to using a table. If you perform sat down, if you're doing like a cabaret show, you know, L&L publishing style. Yeah. So if you're used to a table in the center and your audience around you, I'm thinking like cabaret nights, things like that. Or maybe if you're doing those, because I know some people do like magician's corner sort of stuff, like close up magicians that will have a table in the corner of a room at a corporate event. And then obviously they get 10, 20 people round at a time to watch. And then, you know, that sort of like a mystery room sort of style. Then you could stick it under a table. And different props can have obviously different tags in them. And as you move it over a certain spot on the table, it will trigger that sound cue. Yeah.
Perfect.
So there's those that I think the two best places. Personally, I wear it in my top pocket purely because that gives me the flexibility to trigger a cue from no matter where I am on the stage.
Okay. That makes
however,
sense.
If you want to be geeky, you can actually connect up to 16 solo devices to your iPad.
That was going to be my next question. Okay, so you can have more than one connected up, yeah, and yeah, either one of them can trigger whatever tags, yeah, that you're using. Yeah. The reason and I ask that is, of course, I have a routine that I do in a stage show, in my illusion, yeah, show, on a table. I do and I've done it for years. I did it in the close-up at Blackpool about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's a story deck routine.
It's
a story deck routine where the music changes as I deal the cards. And I've got this 5-minute track, and the 5-minute track, I've just timed it to do all of the fancy cuts and shuffles. But occasionally I'm getting old. Occasionally I miss it. I would love to be able to have a solo on a table, have chips set up in every single card, and just literally the music is changing as I'm doing the routine, as I'm dealing them down onto the table.
Yeah.
Because that would be incredible, because then I can take my time over it. If the audience are reacting, I can leave it a beat before, rather than having to kind of hit a pre-
nail on the head. Exactly. You're not bound anymore by your music. And I think a lot of performers have been in the past because they know that the next track is this, or this track runs for this long. You know, another example is Billy Reid has a wonderful routine called Caledonia, and it's a lovely piece of magic set to, again, it's a storytelling routine with a deck of cards that he's hand drawn. It's beautiful. If you ever get to see it, it's beautiful. And again, you know, I said to Billy, like, you could cue the music with the deck when you take the cards out of the box. So there's a chip in the box, you drop it on the table, the music starts at the exact moment you want. Then obviously at the end of his routine, when he wants the finale music to kick in, the last card in that deck could have a chip in it that cues your finale music. So now there's no reliance on a sound tech. You just shuffle the cards, do your routine, get the reactions at the beats that you want. And then the last turn of that card, that's when the music changes. Poof. You know, energy comes back up and you get your reaction. And Billy was like, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, you know, I'll take one, you know, so. Yeah.
Is there a limit to how many chips you can use?
No. So that was purposeful.
Have like, I mean, you'd never want to do this, but you could have like 100 chips if you wanted to.
So you could, so Solo Studio itself has no limit on how many tracks you import. So you can import literally hundreds of music tracks, and each track can have hundreds of tags assigned to it. So for example, this post-it note pad might trigger a piece of music and a sound effect when I hold it in front of Solo, for example. Or it might just trigger that one music track. Or these two things might trigger the same music track. It doesn't matter. Because you just assign it in the app. You just tell the app, that's how I'm going to do it. Now, at Blackpool, I actually explained to people the way you had to do this was by programming the tags. So you had to pick up a tag, scan it, program it using an app on your phone. You don't have to do that anymore. You just open Solo Studio. You go into the track settings. In fact, I'll show you. I don't know why I'm telling you. I can just show you. You literally open up the tracks. You see there's an assign tag button here. And all you do is you click assign tag. And now you just hold a tag over Solo. And it adds that tag to the track. So it's literally that simple. You don't have to do any of the programming anymore. You don't have to do it because, and you know, customers might not know this, but all RFID tags by law, when they're produced, have to have a unique ID attached to them when they come out of the factories, right? So we're just utilizing that. So all we're doing is we're storing that unique ID inside the app that matches to the song. So we're just making use of something that's a feature that's already in RFID tags. And it makes it so much easier for customers because it keeps it all in one app and you don't have to program anything. You just literally tell it to scan a tag. You hold the tag above Solo. Solo adds it to the track. And then every time it detects that tag, it plays that song. Literally.
That's great. That's great, man. Okay, so next question. What's the range on this?
Very good question. So when we actually when we launched the Kickstarter, it was 50 meters. So, which is pretty damn good. To put that into perspective, it's the width of a football pitch. So, you know, that's pretty big. You know, I don't think there's many performers in the world that are that far away from their sound system when they're performing. If you are, I mean, I want your gigs. I don't know where you perform in Wembley or something. I don't know. But you know, so 50 meters, which is pretty damn good. However, 2 days ago, was it yesterday? Don't know, time's flying. Yesterday morning, I woke up to an email from our engineers who literally went, so we've been playing and we've managed to make it work further. So I was like, okay, great. How far? And they were like, well, double. And I was like, oh, what? And they were like, yeah, so it now works over around 100 meters. So I'm like, how have you done it? How have you done that? So now Solo talks to your iPad and the range has gone. He's actually got it to 107 meters is the furthest he's managed to get it to work. So we're talking roughly 100 meters, which is what, 300 feet? Over 300 feet, which is insane, especially for something this size. You know, it's tiny. You know, there's no external antennas. There's no, you know, it's just a box. You know, it's just this, just Solo. And yeah, it talks directly to your iPad, and that's the range that we're getting out of it. But it's because we're using a brand new, I say brand new in the consumer world. It's not brand new in industry. In fact, it's been used in industrial industry. That's a thing. it's been used in industry for a long time, but it's a Bluetooth protocol. So it is based on Bluetooth, and I know a lot of magicians will be like, oh no, Bluetooth. It's not the cheap Chinese remotes that people are used to buying off eBay. This isn't that technology. It's a totally different type of Bluetooth. It's called Bluetooth 5.2, or BLE, technically, which is a low energy version of Bluetooth, which uses very little power, which means that actually we can get over 8 hours battery life out of a fully charged Solo as well, which is insane, including use, which is mad. So 8 hours, it's mad. So using this new BLE technology, we can actually transmit incredibly long ranges incredibly reliably because they have these handshake mechanisms built in, which basically means that the connection is always being checked. It doesn't just get checked when you fire a tag, it's always talking to it. And yeah, it's amazing. The technology is mind blowing. Because at first I was very apprehensive. When my engineers turned around and went, look, don't use 433 megahertz, use Bluetooth. And I was like, don't really want to. And they were like, no, trust us, use Bluetooth. And sure enough, they've come good on it because the range is better than 433 megahertz. The connection stability is better. The power consumption is better. What you can do with it is better in a sense of the information you can send. You can send a lot more information. And that's the beauty of solar. We're actually sending very little information to the device, which means that unlike streaming music, where you're sending, you know, tens of megabytes of data across Bluetooth, we're not. We're sending tiny, tiny bits of data, which makes it much more reliable, the connection. Which is why it's better than just Bluetoothing music from your phone to a speaker, for example. Yeah, it's mad. Honestly, the technology side of it is pretty mind blowing, even to someone who's a bit of a geek. It's really cool.
That's amazing. I know a lot of children's entertainers, and this would be so amazing for them. I mean, it's going to be amazing for everybody, as I said, but I mean, children's entertainers especially, I can see them getting so much leverage out of this.
Yeah.
You know, you have chips built into magic wands, and when you give the kid the magic wand and stuff going off, and, you know, if you're a vent and you do pre-recorded tracks for your vent routines, you can be starting it and stopping it and be in control of that the whole time.
I mean, this is what I mean. Like, as soon as people become aware of the concept and you have these conversations with people, the ideas just keep firing. Like, the idea of having a chip in a magic wand had never occurred to me because I don't do that. I'm not a children's entertainer. But if a children's entertainer put a chip in a magic wand, they could give that away to the kid because the chips don't cost anything. They're so cheap anyway. You know, they're largely inexpensive. It might cost you £1 for that chip, maybe £2. It's a giveaway item to the kid. You could make them a magic wand that when they touch to a certain part of your table or they touch it to a certain prop, that is going to trigger the magic music for the show. Do you know what I mean? Like every time it's just, you know, stuff like that. And then they can go away with the magic wand. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know how well you know John Kimmo.
I am aware of him. I don't know him.
The Tricks and Sticks Comfort. He's one of the best, in my opinion, family entertainers in the world. He basically spends most of his time on Disney cruises now, just doing all the Disney cruises. He's got this hilarious bit that he does with a speaker, and he's using, you know, the old school way of doing this where the music starts on his speaker and he's like, stop, stop, stop. And every time he kind of picks up a prop, the music starts and you know, he'll say something and then the music starts again. And it's a running gag that the kids love. Yeah. But I've seen it go wrong because he's basing it on technology. But if you could do stuff like that, but be in complete control.
Well, you're in complete control in a sense that when I pick this up, it will work. I know. And this is what's mad, trying to explain this to people. Like at Blackpool, you could tell people were like, I don't really understand how this works. And I'm like, I know, because it works exactly the way that you're seeing it, which is when you pick something up, it works. It just does its job. And which is what's mind blowing about it. And like I say, that's the perfect routine for that. It's literally exactly the sort of routine that you can do with solo, except never have to worry about your sound cues because you are the sound cues. You are literally, that was the whole theory of kind of, that's where I kind of started with solo when I realized NFC and RFID. I was like, oh my God, we and our props become the buttons. Because that's the problem with remote controls, is there's only a finite amount of buttons. And if you've got a remote this big in your pocket, there's only 5 buttons on it. Well, that means it can only do 5 things. Maybe 10 things if you have to long push a button. But that's still only 10 things that can be done with that remote. Whereas if you get rid of the remote entirely and your prop becomes the remote or the trigger or the button, then all of a sudden, you've got an infinite amount of buttons that can be pushed, talking to an infinite amount of music tracks.
So could you program your system to do anything by Bluetooth? like you talked about lighting, you talked about music.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, for example, in Ryland's, have you ever seen Silver Odyssey by the Collector's Workshop?
No, I've not.
It's a beautiful prop. It's basically the best coins to glass you've ever seen. The idea is it's a raised sort of tray, mm-hmm. and you show a, it's designed for stage or formal close-up shows. You show a shot glass, you put it there. You mm-hmm. show a pint glass, you put it there. And you have four coins over here, and you have a Bluetooth remote control. So when you press the remote control, what happens is in this tray,
it fires.
Boxes. So it goes and goes in. So
you've seen it.
And over here, and when you vanish it, you look over there, and it's incredible. Ryland's working on it for his new show at the moment.
Nice.
Would it be possible to connect that up by Bluetooth via your system, so that when he picks up the coin, for example, it triggers the coin landing in there? I mean, is that a thing? I don't know if it is or not.
I mean, potentially. I mean, at the end of the day, it just comes down to, and we could get geeky here, what Bluetooth stack is being used by that product.
Got you.
So obviously, I know what's being used for Solo, and I know what's being used for my app, and I know what's being used for the other hardware that we're currently kind of developing, if you will, in the back end, and to make sure that talks with the Solo Studio app. However, what they're using, I don't know. We'd have to get in touch with the manufacturers and see what they're doing, and then probably get a demo unit and then get it to interface properly. So you couldn't get it to work directly, not out the box, but there could be an add-on in the future, say, because you mentioned it just then, you know, Bluetooth lighting now has become such a thing. You know, in your house, you can have apps on your phone that control your, you know, Philips light bulbs or whatever. And that uses a combination of Wi-Fi and Bluetooth technology most of the time. And that means that in future updates of Solo Studio, we're hoping to add in lighting control as well. So all of a sudden, just by picking up this business card, I'm changing the music in my show and I'm changing the lighting in my show as well. Again, it becomes the hub, the nerve center, if you will, of complete show control, which obviously can be tailored every time you do the show. Because if you don't want to do a trick one day because you get a bad reaction from a kid or the audience have sick of card tricks, you just don't do that trick. And therefore, the lighting never changes for that trick. And therefore, the music never plays for that trick. And you never have to skip a track. You just don't perform it. And if you don't perform it, the cue doesn't happen. Which is what's a bit kind of mind-blowy about the whole system, is that ultimately it only plays the music or could trigger lighting in the future for tricks that you're actually performing or routines that you're actually performing. Mad, isn't it?
I'm blown away. So what's the future? Because I know for you, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. I know for you, this is not a quick cash grab. I know for you, this is kind of a long-term thing. You believe in the product. You wanted it yourself, but you also believe it's something that the industry needs. And I know this because I know that one thing that people are going to be worried about, and anybody who knows they shouldn't be worried about, is what happens if support's withdrawn? What happens if it fades away? You know, that's the main reason why people don't want to use App Magic, because they're worried about what happens if the apps are no longer supported. For those people that are concerned about making an investment with Solo and worried about that side of things, maybe they don't know you or your reputation within the industry. Can you put their minds at ease and tell us what you've got coming up in the future and what's going on? That'd be amazing.
Absolutely. So I actually had the question through Kickstarter. Someone who was interested in backing and who has now backed actually asked this very question. It was like, well, you know, will you continue to keep the app up to date and things like that? I said, absolutely. It's a no-brainer. Like you said it yourself, this isn't a get-rich-quick thing. If anyone understood the amount of investment that has already gone into this and the amount of investment that I'm seeking, not just through Kickstarter, but other kind of external parties that are now interested in coming on board, the numbers aren't small, you know, to make this work. And that level of investment requires longevity. You can't just be in this for a year or 2 years or 3 years. This is a 25-year project for me. And that's the way I'm looking at it. So when it comes to the actual app itself, to put this guy's mind at ease, I actually said, ultimately, if you wanted to, you could buy an Android tablet or iPad. You could download the Solo Studio app. You could buy Solo and you could never update that and never update Solo itself, and that would work forever. Because that app talking to Solo would always work, because that connection between those two devices will always exist so long as the Bluetooth chip inside your device doesn't fail at some point. Yeah, so that would always work as long as you didn't update the app or update Solo. Now, obviously, if you do want to keep updating it, that's what I would recommend, because it means we can send app updates for fixes, for new improvements, for new features, feature requests, that sort of thing. And obviously, that means then going forward, Solo Studio only grows in size. So it becomes a bigger, richer, fuller app, really, with hopefully the features that people actually want to see and use. That would be the dream. And hopefully, like I say, in the future, adding on other modules like lighting control, DMX lighting control, maybe even different props, card fountains, flash cannons, who knows? You could trigger anything so long as there's a connection to the Solo Studio app. So yeah, this isn't flash in the pan. This isn't, you know, I've been working on this 3.5 years already, and I appreciate this might be the first time some people have heard about it, but trust me, I've literally dreamt about this thing. And when I say dreamt, I don't mean sat at home in my office chair having a whiskey. I mean, literally, I've been in bed at night and woken up the next morning having dreamt about this thing. That's how much work has gone into it to this point. So yeah, I mean, hopefully people kind of can see from what I've put on the Kickstarter page that this isn't something that I'm just going to drop after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, because I'm using it. Like it has to be kept up date for me as well, because it's not just something I've created to make money out of people. Trust me, if I wanted to do that, I'd have come up with a card trick and sold 20,000 of them to Murphy's. And that would have been miles more effective, miles cheaper, a lot less to produce and a lot less effort, I'm sure, than trying to, not disparaging anyone that does that, because actually I know it is a lot of work, but developing a piece of tech, honestly, is a lot harder than I thought it'd be. Vastly harder than I thought it would be. However, now we're at this point, there's no going back. I'm past the point of no return, quite definitely. That's why I'm in this. That's why. And for those of people looking at Kickstarter going, oh, we need 30 grand to make this happen, I don't. 30,000 is the minimum amount to make those pledges possible. I'm looking at roughly at the moment investing another 100,000 into this. That's how much money is actually required. So to put it into perspective, it costs 15,000 quid roughly to get the kite mark, you know, the CE stamp of approval, and the UKCA, which is what it's called, which all electrical items in the UK have to have by law if they're being sold. So that costs 15 grand just to get that and have the product tested. So that just gives people an idea of the numbers involved in actually developing a product like this. So when it comes to longevity, I'm not concerned, because I know I shouldn't be, because I'm the one spearheading this, but no one else should be either, because it's something that I'm developing for me as well. You know, I am my own customer, and yeah, so there we go. That's that. I almost forgot to mention, you know, as well, that another reason why we opted for Bluetooth, to bring it back to that, I know because a lot of people are probably thinking, oh, I'm still not sure about Bluetooth, is, and this is particularly important for anyone that travels or cruise ship workers, is that the difficulty with using 433 megahertz or 868 megahertz is that they're not actually legal in different parts of the world. So for example, you can't use 868 in the UK. You can use 433, but you can't use 868. And in Europe, you can't use 433. You have to use 868. And in Australia, you can't use either of those. And in America, you have to use 433 is actually quite illegal. You're not allowed to use it. So all of those magic props that people are using on 433, you can actually get seriously fined for that. So if you're caught, obviously, if you're not caught, then whatever. But Solo, because it uses Bluetooth, which is internationally recognized as a safe frequency, it means that you can use it all over the world and there's no worries. It's fine. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Which is great for cruise ship workers, because you might be crossing different territories. You know, you might be literally, you might be leaving the UK where, you know, your system that you're using might be on 868 megahertz, which is fine when you're in, you know, say France. But then as soon as you dock in the UK, it's not okay. And then as soon as you go to the States, it's not okay. But then it is okay when you come back to France, you know. So, you know, that is, you know, but I doubt people have ever thought about that. But it is a consideration I had to put into it before obviously having the product tested, because that's one thing that they check. So, yeah, so there you go. There's so much to this. And I'm very excited, as you can probably tell.
I can tell. And your enthusiasm is just amazing. And that's why I know this is going to be a success. I got one last question.
Go for it.
And I know that you have probably thought about this, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Go for it.
Are you going to have some sort of community, whether it's a forum or a Facebook group or something, where solo users can share ideas? Because I think you said it yourself, one of the most exciting things about this is the ideas that people are going to have with it.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be applications for magic tricks. I think there's going to be applications that you haven't even thought of yet outside of magic as well. And having like some sort of community where these ideas can be shared, I think would be very valuable for solo users.
No, I absolutely 100% agree with you. Obviously, all being well with Kickstarter, hopefully we sell lots of them and we get a huge community together of people, which would be amazing. They'll all be invited to a Facebook group that already exists, which is just private at the moment. So no one can find it, obviously, which I set up way before Kickstarter to basically invite all of those people to join this, if you will, group of people that all own Solo and obviously, hopefully, will share their experiences and their ideas and help grow the knowledge base. Because you're right, I don't know everything that can be done with this. I think picking up props and objects and interacting with things is just the tip of the iceberg. Like even like Joel Dickinson the other day came up with a great routine idea. I know Aaron Calvert's come up with some great mentalism applications, and it's just, I'm because my eyes have had to be over everything from the design of PCBs to logos that you can see behind me here, to websites, to Kickstarters, to making assets to go on the Kickstarter page, to creating pledges, to, you know, obtaining manufacturers. And because I've had eyes over all that, I've hardly had time to even think about all of the awesome shit you can actually do with it, you know. And so, but other performers now, I mean, like a backer on Kickstarter, I won't mention his name, maybe, I don't know if you'll mind, Robert Bone, basically got in touch and basically sent me 2 pages on A4 of ideas he's had of using Solo for different routines, different ways of cueing the music for different bits in his show and for magic style effects. And he's literally come up with that in literally 24 hours. And it's just insane what people are coming up with. Yeah.
That's great.
And it's really exciting. That for me, in all honesty, however Solo pans out, whether, you know, I only do the Kickstarter and then I keep Solo running for the rest of my life because I'm using it, or whether it becomes some international, you know, conglomerate that now has thousands of products. The most exciting thing for me will be seeing other performers use this in their shows in ways I never imagined it could be used. That is definitely the most exciting thing. It's like when you're a performer and you invent a magic trick and you see someone do it on stage, or you see them do it in a way that you thought, you know, why didn't I think of that? It gets you excited.
Yeah, I genuinely think this is going to become the industry standard. I genuinely think it is. There's nothing else like it. As you know, as time goes on, it's more and more important than ever before to have a well-produced show that looks like it's seamlessly transitioning from one track to another. Because you need to keep up with the competition, and that's what the competition are doing. Gone are the days of setting up a little speaker and then just kind of going, right, okay, right, there's my iPad, just going to run over here, play, right. No more.
You're right. And you know what? It's, for me, it was, like I say, it's about upping production value. You know, an audience is so heavily exposed these days to extremely high-end productions. You know, you just look at a BGT act. I mean, look at like The Witches, for example. Like, that was so well executed by BGT, that act. And, you know, you think about the music that went into that, the style of it, the timing, all of those bits. This is what our audiences are being exposed to. And so when they see you perform and it's a bit juttery with your music, or it doesn't work, or it just makes the audience question the competency of the performer, which is a little bit unfair because they're just being let down by the tech. But if that never happens. And you have the ability to actually put together a really seamless, well-executed, perfectly teched routine with music at the right moment, with crescendos at the right moment. Your audience is only going to sit there going, fucking hell, that was a brilliant show. You know,
yeah.
they're only going to get a great experience from it, because the bar, like you say, has been raised over the years by TV, by Netflix, by all these great shows that are on TV. And our audience expects more now at
they do.
The end of. And so, yeah, that's it. And that's how I upped the production value and how I upped the fee in my own act, was by adding great, well-placed, well-timed music, which I know sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it wasn't about adding. I think there's a Tommy Wonder quote, I think, which I love, which is, you know, a lot of magicians worry about, you know, getting people into their magic show. So instead they add more magic in the hope that more people will come and see it. But actually, you don't need more magic. You just need a better show. You need more stories. You need more music. You know, people pack theatres all across the world, you know, seeing shows that have zero magic tricks in them, you know. So, yeah, and it's so true. And that's what Solo has allowed me to do as a performer anyway, is up that production value and charge a better fee, basically, which ultimately easily pays for Solo. Yeah, I say pays for one Solo, doesn't pay for the whole of it. Yeah, I don't charge that much.
That's amazing. Look, you know what, Sam? This has been an amazing interview, and I want to say thank you very much, for coming on the panel, but more importantly, thank you for doing this, because somebody needed to, and it needed somebody with the entrepreneurial spirit that you have and the maybe stubbornness, determination to not give up, whatever it may be. I really think you're onto a winner here, not just in this industry, but in every industry. I think that this could be bigger than you even imagine, and I really hope it is, because you're a good guy, and I want to see nothing but success for you, and I think you've really
hit
off something here. I'm
flattered. I'm taken aback by your words, because it's been hard, I'm not gonna lie. You know, like a lot of performers, we sat there in lockdown going, oh my god, what are we gonna do with our lives? And this is something I used to help me get me through that period.
You know, I found it hilarious, by the way, that in lockdown a lot of performers were there going, you know what, I'm never going to perform again. I'm never going to perform again. And in lockdown, you're thinking, I'm going to create a device that can only be used in live shows. You know, eternal optimist. It's like it's the exact opposite, right? What am I going to do while I'm locked in my house? I'm going to create a device to be used at live shows. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should, you know what, it's funny you should mention that, actually, because one thing that I obviously love, and I think that, you know, as people may know, during lockdowns, I did a lot of online events production, because obviously that's where the events world went, right? And so I am hoping in the future to add an option for Solo Studio to integrate with things like OBS. So all of a sudden, you can then, if you're doing a live, you know, if you're doing an online live show, you can still use Solo to cue the right moments. And obviously it can then cue all your camera changes and OBS and stuff. So it is quite tricky to do, which is why it's not there yet. It's quite expensive from the developing point of view to get it to integrate fully. But this, again, it all comes down to having this app that is living. It's a living thing. It's not stagnant. You don't just buy A and B for the rest of your life. It's you buy A, you get B, and B just keeps fucking getting better. Do you know what I mean? That's what it's about. Yeah. So that's the plan anyway. But yeah. But anyway, thank you so much, mate, for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
I'm going to put links down below for the Kickstarter project. This is going out in 2 days' time. So maybe check. There might be still some early birds gone. The super early birds are gone. There might be some early birds gone. But my advice is to jump on this, because, you know, don't leave it until after Kickstarter and go, I'm going to get one, because, you know, I know that you're manufacturing more, but you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you can't get this. If you are looking, if you listen to this interview and you think, you know what, I could do with that in my show, then just get it, because I think this is going to be a game changer. Genuinely, like I said at the beginning, this is actually one of the few times that the word game changer can actually justifiably be used for a product in the magic industry. So congratulations.
Thanks, mate. Oh, thank you, mate. No, really appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'm quite tempted to play a track on the way out. It's got to be Man I Feel Like a Woman, hasn't it?
It's got to be. What a great way to enter this. Oh my
god. Music makes everything better.
If people have questions, should they contact you through Kickstarter or email you, or what's the best way?
Yeah, they can message me through Kickstarter by all means. If they head onto the Kickstarter link, which, yeah, thank you. If you pop that below, it'd be amazing. They can message me on there. It's got quite a good interface, Kickstarter, so I can actually reply to people's messages really nicely rather than on Facebook. I have had loads of people message me on Facebook, which is lovely, and trying to keep up with them is a bit of a nightmare because it's Facebook. But if you are interested, head on to Kickstarter, send me a message through that, because it means I can literally directly respond to you properly on there. And post stuff in. So by all means, use Kickstarter for that. That'd be great.
Amazing. Sam, thank you very much. Everybody who's watching this, please, please, please back this project. I know I'm definitely going to. And anytime you need to chat to anybody again about anything, or you've got updates with Solo, you're always welcome on Magic TV. Oh,
thank you, mate. No, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Guys, do me a favor. Let me know in the comments down below what you think. Go check out the Kickstarter campaign, and I'll be back again soon with another video. Thanks very much for watching. We'll see you again, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel,
Magic TV,
which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.